Hey everybody, this is Frankie Slauson here, and welcome to another edition of the Frankie Slauson Show. And today we got another great interview this week, and today we're talking with the guy who you might know from a little movie that turned out to be a big movie, the movie E.T., and the man who played the character of Elliot, Mr. Henry Thomas. How's it going?
It's great, man. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, I appreciate you responding back to me. I hope I wasn't too much of a bug to you, bugging you on the Facebook there.
No, it's all right.
Oh, that's good.
You're not a cyber bully.
No, I just the type of guy who just am amazed that I can get a hold of all these different celebrities and stuff that actually run their own Facebook pages.
Yeah, well, you know, it started off just kind of as a personal page for my family, but then I guess people found out that I was on Facebook or searched for me or whatever, and you know, it wound up being kind of a hybrid site.
Yeah, like most of the time, it was probably supposed to be in the first place with Facebook. I don't think anybody knew that Facebook was going to become so big. I think everybody thought MySpace was going to be the big thing that was going to last forever or something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole social media thing is, I think it's going to evolve and change, but I don't know, it's weird about technology, like you don't know what's going to stick and what's going to go away, you know?
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, you know, I remember a long time ago when MySpace first came out, I thought, you know, there's nothing that's ever going to top this. Since this is the big thing now, nothing will ever change. And then about a couple of years later, Facebook came along, and I think it was because of the fact that, because when they enabled the chat feature where you can actually chat live with whoever your friends are on Facebook, I think that kind of drew, to me anyway, I think that kind of drew it to be a big thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I was interested in Facebook originally because I had started a MySpace page for music, you know, because I do music as well.
Yep.
And so I started that up, you know, it's kind of like a scratch pad to write songs and post up every week and see what people thought of them. And then when Facebook kind of emerged, I got a Facebook page, but I only got it because some other people in my family had started that, and then I thought it was a good way to get in touch with them, or stay in touch with them anyway.
Sure.
But now it's, I don't think anybody ever goes to MySpace. Whatever happened to MySpace? Where is it? Where is MySpace?
You know, I was looking on your Wikipedia, and it said that, do you still have your current MySpace page, or are you just using Facebook now more often?
I have the MySpace page, like, it still exists. I just don't, I don't really use it anymore. It's kind of, it's like a time capsule.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard rumors that somebody was saying that Justin Timberlake or whatever bought MySpace, but I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what's true anymore?
Wow.
But
where is it? Can you drive out to see it?
Yeah, might have to contact ET and maybe he'll help us.
yeah.
So
we'll call ET and Doctor Who.
Yeah, there you go. So you know, I tell you, you know, I'm sure in the last 30 years you've had a lot of interviews that you've done, even probably prior to ET and stuff. I was looking on YouTube. Somebody posted like a documentary on you, like they were making during your filming of Cloak and Dagger, if you remember.
Oh yeah, there's a guy named Jeff Owens who's been a fan for years, and he made several films, documentaries and stuff when he was a kid about me. Oh, I think I don't know if you can hear, but in the background, my daughter just woke up and she's crying.
Oh yeah, I can hear that a little bit. That's okay. Well,
yeah. Oh, she's looking for her mom.
Okay, if you gotta attend to her, I can just put her on pause real quick.
Yeah, maybe put it on pause for a second, and I'll see if I can help her out.
Okay.
What do you need, life when I was younger?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure, you know, I always kind of wonder, because, you know, when you were famous with E.T. and stuff, when that came out, I wasn't even born yet. I mean, I just turned 29, and I just...
Yeah.
It was such a... It just seemed like back in those days, it was just such a different vibe. Like, when you were a Hollywood star, you were literally a Hollywood star. Even when you were, you know, a young age of 10 or 11 when you got the role.
Yeah, well, it was a different... it was definitely a different industry back then. I mean, you know, if you had a part in a studio film, you know, that was a big deal, but they were all studio films, you know. It's just that the studios only made so many films a year, and a lot fewer than they make now. So, you know, getting a part like that was quite a big deal.
Yeah, well, I would say so. I'm sure it changed your life forever. You probably thought you were just going to be a regular kid, you know, having a regular kid life and everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't really have any kind of clue as to what it was like to work in the film industry, or what it was like to even go to Hollywood. You know, I hadn't left the state of Texas where I was from. You know, I grew up outside of San Antonio for, you know, most of my young life.
Oh, yeah.
Until I was about 24, you know, but when I was 9 or 10, when I got the part for E.T., it was just, you know, it was a kind of a whirlwind thing, because everything happened within that year. You know, the first jobs that I ever got were that year, and suddenly, you know, I was like a 10-year-old working actor, which was kind of strange. And people wanted me in their movies because the film was a big success, you know.
Oh, yeah.
After the first 2 weeks in the box office, you know, people were just like lining up around the corner. So, you know, it was different then, though, because you didn't have any other venues for seeing movies. You know, it wasn't like everybody didn't have a Blu-ray player or anything like that. You know, you couldn't stream movies. You had to go to the movie theater.
Yeah, you actually had to get off your butt and go somewhere.
Yeah, and it wasn't like you could wait it out. You know, if you wanted to see something, you went and saw it, because it's not like today where, like, if you miss it in the theaters, you just wait, and then 2 weeks later it's out on, you know, on demand or something. You know, you wouldn't see a movie on TV until probably like a year or two after it had left the theaters. And, you know, people turned out. It was an event to see a hit movie.
Yeah, and it kind of reminded me, too, like, I'm a big fan also of, like, the Goonies and the Back to the Future era as well. And I went to, earlier this year, I had the privilege to go to Astoria, Oregon, where the Goonies were partially filmed anyway. And even now, to this day, people still talk about how big that film was. I can only imagine, in the locations where E.T. was filmed, that people still talk about, boy, that's a house where E.T. was filmed. Let's go see if it looks like it was in the movie or something.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, people know where that house is. And in fact, I did an interview this fall, and, you know, because it was the 30th anniversary of E.T.'s release this year. And I did an interview with this British television channel called ITV, and they were like, oh, we really want to take you to this house where E.T. was filmed, you know.
Yep.
So I went back there with them and checked it out. And it was kind of strange, because I hadn't been back there for 30 years, and but it still looked sort of the same. Like, I remembered it. It was just different, you know?
I'm surprised that, because I was mentioned to this to your co-star, Robert. I forget his last name, but I know I'm friends with him, too, on Facebook. And I was trying to say, you know, what you guys should do, which I'm surprised you haven't done. It seems like all these other movies or people that do movies eventually do like a reunion, like to get together with people that were in the movie and the directors and everything like that, and have a weekend reunion. You know.
Yeah, well, that's Robert McNaughton, who played Michael, my brother, Elliot's brother in E.T., yeah. Yeah, well, we had a reunion, like, interview thing for the 25th year, the 20th year anniversary. Yeah, it was the 20th anniversary. So 10 years ago, we had, like, a cast reunion thing, and they premiered the movie. Or they didn't premiere it, of course, but they
played it in a theater, I suppose.
They screened it, and John Williams actually performed the score live to the to the film.
That's right. That's on the Blu-ray of it too, because I just bought the Blu-ray not too long ago of it. That's right.
Yeah. It was pretty cool actually, because. You know, I had never seen. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on, just a second.
Okay, I'll just put it on pause again.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I resumed it. I forget what we were talking about, but I think it was talking about like the 20th anniversary reunion. But anyway, what was I going to talk about now? A lot of people don't realize that just because you did the E.T. movie, I mean, that was the one that brought in your career, but you've also done a lot of other films, too. I heard that you did a movie about Hank Williams Sr., I believe?
I did, yeah. It's called The Last Ride, and it's about the last 3 days of his life.
Oh, boy.
You know, the road trip that he was on when he died before he got to the gig that he was supposed to play. Yeah, I did that a couple of years ago, and, you know, it had a little release last year, and it got really great reviews, and I think 20th Century Fox is releasing it on DVD, but I don't know if it'll actually have any more life as a theatrical release, because it's... you know, it had a limited run. And,
yeah,
but it did well for an independent film. You know, it.
Well, that's good.
It would. We made it for next to nothing and shot it on a shoestring, and you know, so they sold it. And
so, do you know if Hank Williams Jr. ever had a chance to see that at all?
You know, he didn't watch it, but he signed off on it.
Oh, okay.
The family kind of got behind it in a sense, because they could have stopped the production at any time.
Sure.
But they they didn't, and you know, so we took silence as a yes. But actually, Jett Williams, who's Hank's daughter, you know, he, not Hank Jr., but basically Hank Jr.'s half-sister.
Oh, sure.
Jett
sure.
Williams. She was a supporter of the film and got behind it and actually, you know, helped promote it and went on the road and stuff with the film with us. So that was really great. And
that's cool. Well, that's cool.
You know.
Yeah.
It's for a small film, you know, it had a bit of a life.
Well, that's good. You know, and I think it's great that you constantly still do films. Do you think that one day that you'll do another film that will eventually be as big as E.T. at all?
You know, I doubt it, just because the nature of, I think, what makes a blockbuster and what makes a successful film has changed so much.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely don't see myself starring in a blockbuster anytime soon, you know, with like where my career is, you know, that's just like not in the cards, and I'm 41, I'm, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, I mean, I can, I can see my career on a different path, and okay. it's not that that's not the path, you know. I'm more into doing smaller films and more like human stories, and you know, I mean, I do like sci-fi and fantasy and, you know, supernatural stuff as a subject matter for films, but as far as my acting work goes, you know, I think I found my niche, and it's in smaller stories.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, though. I mean, if you're happy, if you're comfortable with the way you are right now, then more power to you, you know. I just figured I'd ask you that question.
If I could get paid for it, it would be okay. If I could make some money at it, it would be great. But, you know, but that's kind of, you know, you, at a certain point, you have to kind of go for, like, a middle-of-the-road approach as far as, like, where your happiness is and your sanity and let the finances kind of fall where they wish, you know.
So what do you think that life would be like if there was no, you know, if the film industry was still like it was 30 years ago and there was no technology that helped movies get streamed faster and stuff like that? Do you think that films would still have a purpose like they did 30 years ago?
You know, I think that audiences have always they've always enjoyed the technological wonder of film, you know.
Yep.
Movie magic has always been an exciting kind of mysterious thing. And the fact that we kind of capitalized on that and created now like a virtual system where anything can be recreated and put on screen if you have enough money to do it. You know, I think we did that as a result of audiences always kind of wanting that in their films and wanting to see fantastical things. So I think that movies are still being made in the spirit that they would have been made in, you know, 40 years ago. They're just more bells and whistles, and it's because that's what the audience is expecting, you know.
Sure.
So, I'm sorry, can you hold on one second?
Yeah, no problem, I'll put it on pause again.
I'm back on now.
Okay. I just hit record again. We're here with Henry Thomas from if you guys remember the movie E.T., which I'm sure everybody does. People, when I announced that I was going to be doing this interview with you last night on my Facebook page, people were kind of skeptical because they couldn't believe it at first, but then it's like, yeah, it's actually going to happen, believe it or not. I mean, I'm honored. I mean, I've had a chance to talk to many different people in the last 7 years or so that I've been doing interviews, and it's just amazing what you can do thanks to social media and thanks to just the internet and just to the will of people not saying no, you know.
Well, you know, it's good. It's nice to have a show like that, though, where, you know, you're talking to people, and I think that's an important thing. You know, it's a good way to use the internet.
Yeah. You know, so the one last question that I have for you is a question that I want your personal opinion on, because since you were the main guy or the main kid in E.T., and the 30th anniversary just happened, and they released the Blu-ray and everything, what do you think of the Blu-ray compared to any other format that E.T.'s been on?
Well, it certainly looks great. You know, it looks like it was shot yesterday.
Sure.
And sometimes that's a little off-putting, you know, because I kind of like that grainy element that you sometimes get in old movies, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, it's nice to see it crisp, and I think the real cool thing about Blu-ray is that all of the bonus features that you get, and with the ET disc, it's a lot of behind-the-scenes footage that hasn't ever been seen before, so that was kind of fun for me to watch, because I had kind of, you know, forgotten a lot of that stuff, and
I suppose you watch other, obviously you watch other movies besides E.T., obviously. You can't just watch E.T. 24/7 and not get sick of it. As much as a good movie as it is, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think it's a nice one to have in the collection, but I don't like to watch any movie, you know, repeatedly besides...
Yeah.
Maybe the Lord of the Rings. Maybe the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I'll watch that repeatedly.
Well, that's cool, you know, and that's just the thing. I bought the Blu-ray as well, like I mentioned, about maybe a month ago from Best Buy, and I like it. I mean, I think it's a good collection. I did own the 20th anniversary collection as well that came out 10 years ago, but I like this version better just because of the resolution and just because of they put everything on one disc, and then you get, like, a DVD, a digital copy, and all that stuff, and... It's just amazing what, you know, you kind of wonder what films are going to be like in the next 10 years. What format and everything.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'll be like a hologram in the living room in 30 years.
Yeah, who knows. But but I want to say personally, I mean, and I really mean this, thank you very much for letting me do this. I know you had your kid that you were dealing with, and that's fine. That doesn't hurt the interview at all. It's just...
Yeah, sorry. I hope it wasn't too much of an interruption.
No.
But thank you, and thanks for interviewing me, and best of luck to you.
And one other question before I let you go. What do you have to say to your fans for... That have watched you for the last 30 years on E.T.? I mean, if you had something to say to your fans, what would you tell them?
Well, first I would say thanks very much, because, I mean, without them, my career would never have happened, you know?
Sure.
If, if people didn't turn out, then I wouldn't be talking to you now.
Probably not.
But,
we'd probably be in a grocery store or something, probably. Yeah.
So, yes, thanks. I thank you. My family thanks you. And my extended family thanks you.
I know I just asked you that question off the top of my head, but I had to ask you.
No, my life would have been, you know, very different and, you know, not anywhere near as dynamic as it has been without those good people. So, I mean, really, I mean, if I have any fans, I thank all three of them, okay, on your show.
All right. Well, thanks a lot there, Henry, and best of luck to you in the future. Hopefully we'll see you in something, whether it's big or just keep on with the acting, you know?
Yeah, I got a film coming out called Big Sur about Jack Kerouac. And that's going to premiere at Sundance, at the Sundance Film Festival this year.
Okay.
So that's a good thing. I had a small part in that.
All right. Well, all right, ladies and gentlemen, this was Henry Thomas, and I'm Frankie Slauson, and thanks again for letting me do this interview with you.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
Talk to you later.
Bye. And that was Henry Thomas, and I want to thank him especially, as well as all you listeners who have been tuning in to all these interviews that I've done. I probably wouldn't do them without you as well. Whether it's an audio interview or a video interview, I just wish that I could get more views. So if you want to do me a favor, pass this video along, or this audio video, and let people know that somebody just recently did an interview with Elliot from E.T. And if they don't believe you, well, you got the video to prove it. Or you got the audio to prove it. Tell Frankie Slauson sent you. Anyway, we'll see you in the next video, or audio video, or whatever you want to call it. And thanks again for being tuned in to the Frankie Slauson Show right here on YouTube.com.